and the insert name of sponsor here, Studios.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
But I'm not the guy that's going to go out there and show all the emotion and, you know, throw 98. And, you know, that's what the fans love. And that's fine with me. So I just love going out there and competing, especially with this group of guys, and doing whatever it takes to win.
And he's going to have to do whatever it takes to win tonight. That was Kyle Hendricks talking about his Game 5 start, which is on tap at Nationals Park in Washington, D.C. today. Welcome in, everybody. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of us in Eastern Iowa that have the Cubs on their mind today, because it could be the last game of the season, depending on the outcome. We will have that game for you tonight on 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency. At 7 o'clock, it's one of the three places that you can normally find us. We're on all three of them right now, 1600 AM, as well as our FMs, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids. You guys are going to have a little Thursday night football coming your way, the Eagles and the Panthers on tap tonight. I thought we were going to be talking a ton about the Cubs and the Nats today, and we will. We have the timing on this couldn't have been better, but we've got author Rich Cohen, who's going to be joining us at 5 o'clock tonight to talk about his book, Chicago Cubs, The Breaking of a Curse, which was just released, and it's a tremendous book. I've actually just finished reading it earlier in the week. Iowa State fans, we got you covered today, too. We're going to talk Cyclone football with Alex Halstead coming up at the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk Big 12 football and a whole lot more with Jake Trotter of ESPN.com coming up today at 5:30. Woodja is in the 6 o'clock hour. We've got an opportunity for you to go to a special event that's going to benefit Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and that's coming up during the Iowa Northwestern game when the Hawkeyes are on the road in Evanston next Saturday. Big Brothers, Big Sisters is going to have a watch party at Kinnick Stadium, and we'll hear a little bit from Melanie Richard coming up later on today and actually give you an opportunity to win a couple tickets to that event. It's a tremendous organization, and we're happy to help promote it here at KGYM. 319-366-1600. That's the number to reach us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, the final show from the studio this week. We're back on the road tomorrow for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. We'll be at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, and not too far away from Coach's Corner's sister-brother location. I never get the sexes correct. That's why I was terrible at learning foreign languages. But Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub on Highway 1 West in Iowa City, they sponsor the Pick 6 each week, and I've got the results. And we've got somebody who's very happy with the order, the selection order, and that would be our producer, Kyle Mann, who's on the other side of the glass. He was selected first overall, followed by Mark Dukes. Alex, you went third, then Sean, then me, and Scott Unash was bringing up the rear. But sometimes that sixth caller gets the person that they wanted to pick all along.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish, right?
I don't think that was the instance in this case, but I could be wrong. Alex, what's up?
Not a whole lot. How did you know that you were going to bring up the rear? Because before the results even came into studio.
Scott's bringing up
sorry,
the rear.
Sorry, how did you? You said, well, I'm either going to be in the 5 or 6 spot.
Because I heard Kyle on the phone.
I thought
I was channeling my inner psychic. I heard Kyle answer the phone, and I heard him say, Todd and Scott are left.
Okay.
So when I walked in the door, I said, I'm either going to go 5th or 6th. And I was excited about it.
And
I'm more excited about the pick six than I am this ball game tonight at 7 o'clock, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
Speaking of ball games, I felt incredibly bad for Cleveland fans last night. I thought, and I think that a lot of Cleveland Indians fans thought that this was their year. Everything was in order. They were healthy going into the playoffs. They were playing their best baseball going into the playoffs. They get off to a 2-0 lead over the New York Yankees, and everything falls apart. So in a year where LeBron James might be leaving town once again, things are heading back that direction for Cleveland sports fans.
I felt terrible last night. One of my good friends from high school is a Cleveland Indians fan, and I said all along, going back to spring training, that the Indians were going to win the World Series this year, had a great feeling about it. Tremendous pitching staff. They had the 22-game win streak in the month of August to carry it over into September, and I thought, man, they're going to do it. They got up the 2-game lead on the Yankees, and boy, last night, you have to tip your cap to Joe Girardi and New York and moving on to face the Houston Astros, and that should be a really good series. I favor Houston in that one. They are my new favorite. You're allowed to pick a new favorite to win the series, right, when your original prediction gets knocked out? I don't care who wins the National League. I think I'll take the Houston Astros now. And I did say that everything was just a warm-up to whoever won between Houston and Cleveland. Well, now it's Houston and New York. Our poll question today, as we mentioned coming on the air, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot, is will the Cubs advance to take on the Dodgers in the National League Championship Series? Yes or no? 7 o'clock, first pitch tonight from Nationals Park in D.C. It'll be lefty Gio Gonzalez throwing for Washington. The Cubs will go with Kyle Hendricks. He starts the game. Joe Maddon has indicated that Jose Quintana, who was the Game 3 starter Monday at Wrigley Field, will be one of the first guys out of the bullpen if Hendricks struggles. And if Hendricks struggles, it's probably not going to matter at that point, although that's why they play the games. But it should be interesting nonetheless. Cub fans, I want to know whether you're optimistic about tonight's game or not, and if you're apprehensive, why. 319-366-1600. Iowa is off this week, but we were gifted, and I say gifted because I knew the minute that I saw this email, people were going to want to discuss this. But Iowa announced today that it has added Northern Iowa to its 2020 football schedule. And this is, a lot of you may be wondering, well, how are they doing that? The Big Ten said no more FCS teams after 2018. Well, when the Big Ten went to a 9-game conference schedule and it realized that it was making teams every other year play 5 conference road games, it decided it was going to give a little leeway to teams to maybe pad their win columns a little bit. Let's just call this what it is. Now, I'm not saying that's what Iowa's doing by scheduling you and I. They could have gone out and scheduled a much weaker FCS-level opponent, but in the years like 2020, when you've got 5 road games in the Big Ten, including at Minnesota, which will be the Big Ten opener for the Hawkeyes that year, you can schedule an FCS opponent. So that's what the Hawkeyes did today. The 2020 non-conference schedule, Northern Illinois, Northern Iowa, and Iowa State. The Northern Illinois game was originally scheduled for the first week of the season. They have now moved that to the fourth week in September, and you and I will be the leadoff game in 2020. So Northern Illinois agreed to move the game so that the Hawkeyes could add you and I to the schedule. Your thoughts, Hawkeye fans and Panther fans, 319-366-1600. People are not going to like this. That's my prediction, and it has been all day long.
Isn't it fun to see these two programs play? And I say this even looking at some of the games that have been scheduled in the past out of the Missouri Valley Football Conference. Iowa scheduled North Dakota State. Iowa scheduled Illinois State. And I thought those were fairly intriguing matchups in week one. But you and I like to see them get a chance against Iowa State, and I like to see them get a chance against Iowa. These are guys who just missed out on getting a scholarship from both of those schools, who were told, oh, you're not quite big enough, you're not quite strong enough. And most years, they contend in the Missouri Valley Football Conference, and they've given Iowa State some problems. They have given Iowa some problems. So I have no problem with this game being scheduled week one, especially in 2020. And I'm the proponent of Iowa going out and scheduling some bigger opponents, some more challenging non-conference opponents. I would love to see a neutral site game against an Arkansas or a Notre Dame or someone out of conference, that some other fairly good Power 5 team. But I have no problem with Iowa and you and I playing.
I'm indifferent to it, and I don't mean that as a backhanded slap at you and I don't mean it in any other way than I've been around long enough to know how Iowa operates and how that program does business under Kirk Ferentz, who presumably will have another 9-year contract extension sometime between now and 2020. He'll be here in perpetuity. I say that only half jokingly, but if you're going to play this game, play it against you and I.
Agreed.
So there you go. There's my scorching hot, super volcanic take on this. Did you read about the super volcano today?
I did not.
That's going to explode and kill us all?
No, I didn't.
Alex, I'm a little disappointed in you. It's the biggest news story of the day. Apparently, there's a super volcano under Yellowstone National Park.
That's a news story?
And yes. Well, it's been there for trillions of years. And apparently, some researcher at Arizona State has decided that there are indications that this thing is going to blow at some point sooner rather than later and layer the earth with ash and a whole bunch of bad stuff and basically kill off all humankind.
Wow, so that, other what a than segue. That, what a segue.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is Iowa State, you picked a heck of a time to beat Oklahoma. That's not like going to erupt tomorrow, but they're saying instead of centuries and centuries, they may move up the timetable on that a little bit. Oh, look, you and I is a great FCS program. They're consistently in the top 25. They make the playoffs. They're in Iowa's backyard, 85 miles away or whatever the exact distance is. I don't have MapQuest in front of me. You may as well schedule this game against. That's fine. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com, who graces us with his presence on this program more often than he probably should, or probably we deserve, did a little digging on the next three seasons of non-conference schedules for all of the teams in the Big Ten. And I thought what he found was rather interesting, because the drum beats among a lot of the Iowa fans is Iowa needs to schedule more Power 5 non-conference games. And they have Iowa State on all three of the schedules, 2018, 2019, and 2020. Very few Big Ten teams have more than three Power 5 non-conference games on their schedule. As a matter of fact, Rob found only two that had more than Iowa and a number of other schools. One of them is Michigan, which is scheduled to play Notre Dame in both 2018 and 2019, Washington and Virginia Tech on the 2020 schedule for the Wolverines. So they've got four, and look at this, Purdue is scheduled to play five Power 5 non-conference games. They've got Missouri and Boston College on next year's schedule. They've got Vanderbilt and TCU on the 2019 schedule and Boston College on the 2020 schedule. They also have an open date in 2020. Other than that, over the next three seasons, Illinois, zero Power 5 non-conference games. Indiana, one. Maryland, three. Now, it should be noted that one of those Maryland games is Texas next season. And I think if you're an Iowa fan and you want a point of contention, you say, okay, we would like better non-conference Power 5 games. I understand that. It's not going to happen with Iowa State on the schedule, but I understand where you're coming from. Michigan State's got Arizona State for 2 years and then Miami in 2020. Nebraska only has two, that home and home that we talked about a couple months ago with Colorado. Northwestern has Duke and Notre Dame on the horizon next year and then Stanford in 2019. Even Ohio State is only playing three Power 5 non-conference games over the course of the next three seasons. Oregon State and TCU next year and Oregon in 2020. So I think what the criticism most commonly leveled from the fans is they would like to see a different Power 5 team, but the contract is in place. It's not going anywhere. Iowa is playing Iowa State, and you get two other non-conference games and get used to seeing Northern Illinois. And if this is any indication, perhaps in years where Iowa has five Big Ten road games, get used to seeing you and I on there. Because, again, if you're going to play this game, play it against you and I as opposed to paying a North Dakota State $800,000 or $1 million to come. You might as well keep the money within the state, right?
Well, yes, and that's why I think that if you're going to get rid of one of those games, get rid of Northern Illinois. I think that UNI brings way more intrigue for both sides than Northern Illinois does. And I'm getting accused of trying to sugarcoat this. No, I have no problem with these two teams playing. I wish it were at the expense of a non-Power 5, a very bad mid-major team. I know Northern Illinois has had their moments, but they're down just a little bit. North Texas hasn't been any good. I don't care about Toledo. Toledo would
for
be
for a number of reasons.
Toledo would at least be a respectable non-Power 5 program, but yeah, I don't care to see Northern Illinois or North Texas on the schedule. I'd say rather keep UNI than those teams.
Yeah, I hate to break this to you, but if Northern Illinois is replaced on the schedule, it's going to be with Toledo or Akron or what'd you call it? The Fun Belt?
The Fun Belt.
As in the Sun Belt.
The Sun Belt.
That's
is
Arkansas
there.
State and
yes,
right?
Troy and South Alabama. And
yeah, Troy. Troy's probably not getting any invitations from any schools anytime soon. They wore out their welcome at LSU a couple weeks ago. The phone probably isn't ringing as often as it did before they upset the Tigers in Death Valley. 319-366-1600, the Hurtine and Stocker text line. Obviously, a lot of strong opinions on this, and we'll get to a couple of them in just a little bit, but we do want to hear from you. And thank you to Hurtine and Stocker, the new sponsor for the text line. You can check them out at 101 South Dubuque Street in downtown Iowa City on the Ped Mall. They're celebrating 70 years in business. Thank you to the Dickens family for your continued sponsorship here at KGYM. Your thoughts on Iowa and UNI scheduling a game beyond 2018? 319-366-1600. One of our texters says more like the Shun Belt. Well, you either like those games or you don't, and if you're a college football nut like Alex is, and I don't know if I've ever met anybody that likes college football more than Alex, you're going to watch the Sun Belt. You're going to watch the MAC games. And guess what?
Well, because it's usually the only thing on,
right,
on Wednesday
and that's,
nights.
Exactly, and that's why sooner rather than later, you're going to be watching Big Ten football games on Friday nights and Thursday nights with much more regularity than you are this year, where the Big Ten sort of decided maybe Friday night football wasn't a great idea. But Nebraska had to go to Illinois a couple weeks ago, and sooner or later, this is going to happen to the Hawkeyes. Just get ready for it. And it's 2017. It's the world that we live in. And if you don't want Friday night football in the Big Ten, start rooting for the Super Volcano. 424, we'll step aside and take a quick break. Alex Halstead going to join us to talk Iowa State, Kansas, coming up in just about 6 or 7. Yeah, Kansas. I would be worried about a hangover for Iowa State in almost any situation. I think you can play through a hangover and still beat Kansas rather easily, but we'll find out what Alex has to say. We may even talk a little Iowa State hoops with him as well. Back with more after this.
It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by Hurtine and Stocker Jewelers on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street. Stop in and congratulate Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate on 70 years in business. One of them is always there. It's winner take all tonight in Washington as the Cubs and Nationals face off in the deciding Game 5 of their National League Divisional Series on 1600 AM at 7 o'clock. Right-hander Kyle Hendricks is scheduled to start the game for Chicago, but he'll be on a short leash if he runs into trouble early. Joe Maddon's indicated that lefty Jose Quintana, who started Game 3 of the series Monday in Chicago, will be available out of the bullpen tonight to piggyback with Hendricks. That would obviously affect the starting rotation moving forward, but none of it'll matter if the Cubs don't win tonight. It'll be all hands on deck at Nationals Park as both teams look to lock in a meeting with the Los Angeles Dodgers in the NLCS. If the Cubs win tonight, they'll head west to LA for Game 1 of the championship series at Dodgers Stadium. It's scheduled to begin Saturday night at 7:08.
We all win by living united, by forging unlikely partnerships, finding new solutions to old problems, and inspiring individuals to join the fight against our community's most daunting social crises. We are more than the fundraisers. We are the hand raisers and the game changers. United Way of East Central Iowa. Volunteer, advocate, give, make a difference. Go to uweci.org/2017 to learn more about how you can join the fight.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
4:26, welcome back in the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock in Cubs baseball on 1600 AM. I'm the only person here who's excited about it. Well, I'm the second person here who's excited about it because Kyle's got his Try Not to Suck t-shirt on today.
I thought that was fitting. Need to avoid errors and getting shut out.
Among many other things tonight at Nationals Park, and you know, maybe avoid giving up grand slams to Michael Taylor, whom, when he hit the ball, Alex, my co-host, said, "Who?" Exactly. Kyle's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The University of Iowa put the finishing touches on its schedule for the 2020 football season and announced today the addition of a game with Northern Iowa. The Hawkeyes will open the season hosting the Panthers at Kinnick on September 5th, will host Iowa State the following week, and will have their first conference game in Week 3 at Minnesota. The Iowa baseball team is playing the Black and Gold World Series yesterday, today, and potentially tomorrow if a Game 3 is needed. The black team took Game 1 last night 3-2 thanks largely to five pitchers combining for a no-hitter. They still made time to issue 10 walks, which for reference would tie the Major League record for most walks in a no-hitter. They're playing Game 2 right now at Duane Banks Field.
Edwin Jackson.
An injury update from Ames. Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell says that linebacker Willie Harvey is somewhere between questionable and probable for Saturday's game against Kansas. Harvey's fifth on the team with 31 tackles and tied for second with 2.5 sacks and a pick. Tonight after the show, we're going to have Thursday night football between the Eagles and Panthers. That's going to be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. But more importantly, we're going to have the win or die Game 5 between the Cubs and Nationals in Washington. The Cubs will throw Kyle Hendricks, who threw 7 scoreless innings in a Game 1 victory, and the Nationals will start Gio Gonzalez, who gave up 3 runs in 5 innings in Game 2. You can hear that right here on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym.
Was it Edwin Jackson? Is he the record holder for most walks in a no-hitter?
I don't know, but this is the second time in as many days that Edwin Jackson's name has been brought up on this program.
He's a Washington National. I don't think he made the postseason roster, though.
He's a Washington National?
Yeah, they actually had him in their starting rotation for much of the second half of the season.
I feel like I didn't hear his name a single time.
Well, it's probably because it was Edwin Jackson. You're going to hear Alex Halstead's name quite often coming up in the next few minutes. He's going to join us to talk a little Iowa State football. Remember, the best cure, kids, for a hangover is either the hair of the dog or playing Kansas after you beat Oklahoma. There will be no hangover at Jack Trice Stadium this weekend. At least that's my prediction. We'll find out what Alex thinks when he joins us next.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update, it's brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 14 years of service. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Kinnick Stadium, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown with breaking news. A federal appeals court today is clearing the way for that 6-game suspension of Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott. The 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals voted 2-1 in favor of the NFL. The case is not over yet, though. Elliott's side could still appeal. It's week 6 in the NFL, a short week for the NFC East leading Eagles and the NFC South leading Panthers. Carson Wentz and Cam Newton both putting up impressive quarterbacking numbers. Both teams 4-1 heading into their showdown tonight in Charlotte. Bengals tight end Tyler Eifert will miss the rest of the season after back surgery today. This the third back operation for Eifert. He played only 2 games this season, and it's the final year of his contract. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports Lions defensive lineman Haloti Ngata is having surgery today on his torn bicep. He will miss the rest of the season. Another Game 5 tonight to wrap up the division series in the baseball playoffs. Cubs and Nationals in Washington, and we'll have the game on ESPN Radio starting at 7:30 Eastern.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid AIR is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid AIR has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The AIR offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
These are the $25 Mediacom's taking off the price of its Extreme packages every month for a whole year. That's right. Mediacom's taking $25 a month off its Extreme packages for a whole year. Just show them your current bill from the satellite TV or slow DSL service you've got now. You'll get up to 100 megabit internet with matching Wi-Fi speeds, TiVo DVR, over 230 channels, free on demand, and nationwide calling. Extreme packages with TV, internet, and phone are as low as $24.99 per service a month for 1 year when bundled. Plus, for a limited time, choose a free 1 year bonus, either Showtime or a speed boost up to 200 megabits. Just get out your current provider's bill and call Mediacom at 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 1-800-SIMPLIFY.
Limited time offer available to qualified new Mediacom customers switching from a competitive TV or HSD service provider. Prices do not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and sports and broadcast surcharges. Internet speeds may vary and a monthly data usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas.
Welcome back in. 4:33 as we continue to make our way towards 7 o'clock tonight. Great show on the way. Hour number two features Rich Cohen to talk about his new book, The Chicago Cubs, The Breaking of a Curse. Jake Trotter will be with us to talk a little Big 12 college football, as well as a little bit more about Iowa State. We'll get to the Cyclones in just a minute. Woodja is on tap in the 6 o'clock hour, as is a preview of tonight's do-or-die Game 5 between the Washington Nationals and the Chicago Cubs, a game that we will have for you right here on 1600 AM, one of the three frequencies which you can hear us on. 1600 AM, also traditionally the home of the Cyclones, and they will be again on the 1600 AM airwaves Saturday as they return to Jack Trice Stadium to take on the Kansas Jayhawks. And joining us now to talk a little bit about the Cyclones on the heels of that historic upset in Norman last weekend, it's Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports. And Alex, I'm just going to go ahead and start with asking you a question that we asked earlier in the week. Is that the biggest victory in Iowa State's program history?
Yeah, that's what I called it. You know, when writing about it afterwards, I think there are a couple people that responded to me and said, "What about Oklahoma State?" But for the most part, I think most people agreed with me when I tweeted that out after the game. You know, I think the Oklahoma State game is up there in 2011, you know, beating the number two team in the country then, and they did it on a more national landscape in terms of, you know, it was a Friday night, the only game on TV, and it was late in the season, so it kind of, you know, had a lot of, lot more, you know, at the time, BCS implications. But for this one, you know, 31-point underdogs, they hadn't beaten Oklahoma in 27 years, you know, only the sixth time ever, the number three team on the road with a third string quarterback. For those reasons, you know, I kind of went with this one as being the program's biggest win ever.
What was the most surprising aspect of that win over Oklahoma for Iowa State, especially from whether it was the quarterback play or the offense, and especially the defense's ability to limit Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, I think the most surprising thing was obviously probably Kyle Kemp, you know, going 18 of 24, 343 yards and three touchdowns, no interceptions. you know, a guy that in his career, you know, he's a fifth-year senior that went to Oregon State, transferred to JUCO, walked on to Iowa State. In his career, he had only thrown two passes ever, and that was in the fourth quarter against Akron earlier this season. So I think that was obviously the big surprising point. But aside from an individual performance like that, I think I was most surprised by their ability to keep responding on the road like that. You know, there were times, obviously they got down early, 14-0 really quickly. And, you know, but when they got later in the game, every time Oklahoma State responded, Iowa State was able to go back up. And so I think that surprised me. I think the fact that they, on the road with, you know, with Kempt at the quarterback position and those sorts of things, you know, they kept being able to do something else to ultimately win that game. Because when we look at their past, you know, coming into the season, of their 37 losses since their last bowl appearance, 15 were by one score. And so for them to be able to do that, I think, gives them a little validation that they're a little bit closer to finally winning some close games that they've lost in the past.
Do we know anything more at this point about Jacob Park's situation and his standing with the team?
Not really. You know, Matt Campbell started his news conference Monday by saying that he wasn't going to talk about the Park situation really until there was more information. As of now, basically, it's kind of status quo from what they told us last Friday, which was that he was taking a leave from the team for a personal medical issue. Now, you know, whatever that is, they can't go into more detail because of all those privacy laws with medical stuff. That would have to come from Park himself, who we haven't talked to yet. But Campbell said earlier this week, because on the depth chart it says Kyle Kempt or Jacob Park, that it can't be a competition because one of the quarterbacks isn't active. So Park is with the team still, but he's not active, it doesn't sound like, in practice. And so even with that either-or, Kyle Kempt will be the quarterback Saturday. And then it's kind of a week-by-week basis. You know, I assume next week we'll ask for another update, going to the Texas Tech game and go from there. But Alan Lazard said he was going to talk to him the other night. So I think he's still working through, you know, those personal things he has. But right now it looks like it's Kyle Kemp's team.
Alex Halstead joining us from 24/7 Sports. Probably not this week against Kansas, but against a little stiffer competition with Park possibly being out for a longer time. Do you see Joel Lanning continue to take some snaps at quarterback in the future?
Yeah, Lanning was asked that the other night, and he said he thinks that the game plan that they had Saturday against Oklahoma will probably be what we see in the future. And I think you're right that Saturday, I think they would probably like to cut down that a little bit. You know, Kansas has given up a lot of rushing yards, and so I think their number one focus is to see if they can get David Montgomery going on the ground and, you know, if possible, not have to use Lanning too much. But I think going forward, we might see that same formula. We saw him play 78 snaps, and 13 of those were on offense. And, you know, with all that said, Tom Manning said that it's going to be a game-by-game situation the rest of the year. You know, different teams dictate different things. And he said they all also have to be smart that, you know, Lanning maybe can't play 78 snaps and, you know, 13 for the next seven games without being worn down. So I think they want to be smart, and that's why maybe this game would be nice for them probably if they can just get Montgomery going and don't have to bring Lanning over much on offense. But, you know, I think the success that they had with it and all that, I think we're going to continue to see that formula the rest of this year.
Alex, I know that Matt Campbell was hesitant to talk about this, but after the way that Iowa State lost some of those conference games last year in heartbreaking fashion, and then the Iowa and Texas games kind of going down in similar manners, what can this win mean for this football program under Matt Campbell?
Yeah, you know, he's kind of been the even keel through all this, whether, you know, win or lose. We've kind of got the same Matt Campbell at least through a year and a half or so. You know, after the Akron win by 27 points, he wasn't really that excited. He was more disappointed about some of the things that went wrong. And this was a big win. I think you saw some emotion from him after the win, but for the most part, it was kind of like he doesn't want this to be, you know, what their season is. He you know, hopes there's more with seven games still to go. But I think that game, he said, can maybe at least show them what they can do, what they're capable of when they do play good football. Because, you know, like you said, they've lost a lot of close games under Paul Rhodes, but also, you know, last year they lost, I think it was 4-1 score games. They lost the one score game to Iowa. Those were different all in their own way, but they've lost games because they haven't been able to close them for various reasons, whether it's a drop or a penalty or things like that. And this game they played pretty clean and were able to close because they made big plays when they needed to. You know, they converted three big third downs that led to scores. And so I think that's really the thing that can show them is that if they do, you know, make some of those plays in the moments they need to, that they can beat about anybody in the conference. You know, Oklahoma was probably their toughest game. You know, TCU would be difficult as well. And there's, I mean, I think there's so much parity in the Big 12 this year that you can win or lose about any game. But the fact that they can beat the number three team in the country on the road, I think they're capable of playing with anybody, but they've got to be able to close games, which they haven't done in the past, and they did Saturday.
It's always tough to come off such an emotional high and a big victory, and that's when you haven't beaten a team that you haven't beaten since 1990. Where do you expect Iowa State's mentality to be going into the Kansas game on Saturday?
Yeah, that's kind of the big question for everybody, you know, that we asked, and I think fans wonder, you know, the line today for the Kansas game creeped up to Iowa State favored by 23 points. And, you know, some fans are worried about that because it's just, to go from being a 31-point underdog to the next week being favored by 23 points. And, you know, Kansas has struggled mightily this year and in recent years. I think people thought they'd be improved this year. And they're 1-4 and their defense hasn't been very good. But, you know, they're capable of scoring. I think it still worries people just because how do you respond to a game like that and not overlook a team like Kansas that maybe has struggled in recent weeks. But, you know, talking to most of the players, I think they're mostly level-headed. You know, David Montgomery's about as level-headed as they come in terms of, you know, it's hard to get him to say much too high or too low. And, you know, he said that the thing that Coach Campbell's talked about this week is that now Iowa State's got to learn to deal with winning. You know, it's one thing to try to deal with losses, but when you win games and you just think that's what it's going to be, then sometimes you get complacent too. And so I think they've been pretty level-headed, and it'll be interesting to see how they come out in that first quarter, because that's a big question, I think, from everybody is how do you respond to a win like that?
You touched on it a little bit just there, but how bad a shape is this Kansas football program in currently?
Well, you know, they've got some really good defensive linemen. I think, I don't know if it was the defensive preseason defensive player of the year pick or if he was just one of the first team guys, but you know, they're supposed to have an improved defense and at least up front, and they've got some, you know, offensive weapons. You know, they scored 34 points against West Virginia and they put up points on some teams, but I think they're giving up something like 300 rushing yards a game last week and to Texas Tech, and they're just really, really struggling defensively. You know, they're close to the bottom in most metrics and in the FBS defensively. And the thing is, you know, with them is we've seen them go through, you know, Turner Gill and Charlie Weiss to now David Beatty. And I think they're almost going to have to go too long with Beatty now because the other two coaches they went through so fast that at some point you've got to let a coach stay there and see what he can do recruiting-wise. And they've got a decent recruiting class, but, you know, you wonder how many of those guys stick if, say, they lose this weekend and they're 1-5 midway through another year. So they're in pretty tough shape with their program because it's just how do you get out of that? You know, you look at a team like Iowa State's even struggled in recent years, but it doesn't seem like they've even fallen into that kind of hole. It's going to be interesting to see what Beatty can do in the next year or so, because I think a lot of people expect them to be much better this year, and they're about the same as they were last year so far.
We were talking to Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com the other day about the next step for the Iowa State football program, and he said it's very clearly trying to get to that 6-win threshold and getting to a bowl game. Prior to last week, that seemed like a long shot, but is there a path forward now to 6 wins, in your opinion, after knocking off Oklahoma?
Yeah, that is the kind of the way everyone's been thinking is, you know, my projection, you know, before the season, or prediction was that if Iowa State could somehow start 4-2, that they had a chance to go to a bowl game. And my thought was that starting 4-2 had to either be Iowa or Texas. You had to win one of those games to get to 4-2, and they still don't have a chance at 4-2, even losing those games because they kind of stole that Oklahoma game. And if they win against Kansas, they're back to that 4-2 that I thought they had to beat to go to a bowl. So I think 6 wins is still out there as long as you don't have a slip up against Kansas this weekend. And you still got Texas Tech on the road. Texas Tech has looked a lot better than I think people thought, but that could still be a close game. Baylor on the road also, that's a game that has started to swing in Iowa State's favor in terms of a lot of the metrics out there in terms of, you know, when you look at the projections. And then the West Virginia game, for whatever reason, has been one that I think a lot of the, at least the models have liked Iowa State to at least be competitive in. So there's games out there for Iowa State to still get to six. And I think, you know, the last time they started 4-2 was in 2012, which they went to a bowl game that year. And, you know, anytime you start 4-2, you just have to win two of the last six, at least put you in good shape. And that's why winning that Oklahoma game is so big, other than just the fact that it was a historic win for the program.
Alex, I think that the storyline that gets lost in this Oklahoma win, and really got lost in a loss to Texas last week, is the job that John Haycock and the defense have done these past couple of weeks. How impressive was it, especially going on the road against one of the best offenses in college football, to hold that team to 31 points, and then what they did against Texas in a loss as well?
Yeah, I think you're right. That a lot of the focus is on the offense both ways. You know, when they didn't play well against Texas, when they lost 17-7, it was, why couldn't the offense get going? Nobody really credited that the defense played pretty well. And then in this game, you know, you give up 31 points to, like you said, what Matt Campbell said, he thinks is the best offense in the country, and Mayfield can do so much, and they got so many weapons. And, you know, he's done a really good job, especially in Big 12 play. When you look at, they've changed their scheme for both games. You know, Texas, they ran a lot of three-man front. Against Oklahoma, we a lot of times saw them just drop eight guys at times to try to confuse Mayfield and give different looks, because, you know, like Haycock has said, I think at times, and he really said it last year, and anymore, you know, defense, you can't put too much emphasis on just the yard totals, because Oklahoma had like 510, 515 yards, but it's kind of about the points you give up and making them earn it. You know, that was Iowa State's goal going into the Oklahoma game, was they knew they were going to get yards, they knew they were going to be able to score, but make them earn it. Don't give them an 80-yard play or a 60-yard play. And so even when Oklahoma scored, it took them time and it took them, you know, plays to get down the field. And I think that's kind of their strategy, and the fact that he's changed it up every game. So the defense has been much improved, and it'll be interesting to see how much they improve in the weeks to come, because they really don't have a ton of older pieces on the team. You know, after this year, they'll lose most of their safeties and Joel Lanning, but they've got a lot of young pieces that can still get better.
Lots of people are starting to think about college basketball this time of year too, and seeing Iowa State and Kansas on the schedule makes me think of hoops a little bit. Alex, what's your biggest question mark about the Cyclones this season under Steve Prohm?
Well, I think the biggest question right now, you know, with Media Day next Tuesday, is what does that rotation look like? And we got to talk to, you know, Steve Prohm last week for the first time, just kind of a little precursor to that. And he said he feels good about his first five, though he wouldn't tell us who they were yet. He feels good about the first five, but it's really finding six, seven, eight, and maybe they'll go to nine, but, you know, probably seven or eight is what they'll go deep. And when you look at their roster, though, they really returned five players that were even on last year's roster, and two of those didn't really play. Jacoby Long played here and there, and Cameron Lard redshirted. So they really only return Nick Bav, Donovan Jackson, and Solomon Young. You know, those are the three guys that return, and everything else is unknown. So they might have a lot of talent there. We know they do have some talent there, with guys like Wendell Wigginton coming in and Zoran Talley from Old Dominion, a grad transfer, is drawing high praise. So we know they've got some talent, but we don't know how it's all going to fit together. And so I think that's what's going to make this non-conference in the month of November more interesting than we've really seen in the last 5 years, just because, you know, I don't know if anybody knows what to expect from this team.
Alex, it's always great chatting with you, and I know our Iowa State fans here in Eastern Iowa appreciate it as well. Thanks for the time, and we'll catch up with you somewhere down the road.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Alex Halstead at 24/7 Sports joining us, and not a whole lot you can say about Iowa State and Kansas at this point, but I think the Cyclones are going to have a hangover this weekend, but they're going to be able to play through it. And I go back to the Carl and Ernie's pick six today. You know, Michigan State goes to Ann Arbor and beats Michigan and is expected to go on the road this weekend and beat Minnesota. And I took Minnesota in that game just because more often than not, when you're coming off either a big win in a rivalry game or a hugely unexpected upset win like Iowa State's coming off of, it's only natural to be a little bit sluggish the following week. But luckily, Iowa State catches a major break here, and it's Kansas on the schedule and not a Texas or a West Virginia or Texas Tech or anybody like that, where you can probably play a game with less than your best effort and still win. And I do expect Iowa State to win big at Jack Trice. It should be a fun game for Cyclone fans to go to this weekend if you like seeing Iowa State score points and the other team not score a whole lot of points.
I think the worst situation for them, if they were to play a team like, let's say, Baylor. Baylor, a little bit down this year, has a little bit of talent and still can match up with Iowa State, and Iowa State sleepwalking into that type of game, I would be very hesitant to pick the Cyclones. But like you said,
any other team, yeah. Baylor, you're right, though.
Kansas, no. I've watched that team the last 3 years, and it's really sad. I don't think people really understand the extent of that program's futility. It was bad under Charlie Weiss. I think it's 10, 20 times worse right now.
The Mangino years were undone by allegations of him not treating players
yes.
very well. And they parted ways with Mark Mangino, and they haven't been the same since. And it is such a difficult place to win at. That's why, no fat jokes here, but build a statue of Mangino in Lawrence outside of that football stadium, because getting Kansas to the Orange Bowl, you've got to be kidding me.
Unbelievable. I know they had a soft schedule that year, but I don't care.
They will never come close to having that success on the football field again, ever. Good luck going out to Iowa State this weekend. We'll have that game for you right here on 1600 AM. You and I heading up to South Dakota State, taking on the Jackrabbits, and no Hawkeye football to talk about this week. The bye week, Iowa hits the road next week for a trip to Evanston and Northwestern, and we've got an opportunity for you to watch that game at Kinnick Stadium with Big Brothers and Big Sisters coming up at the 6 o'clock hour. We'll tell you how you can get tickets. Take an opportunity right now to tell you about a website that you should check out if you're not quite feeling like your old self. I'm talking to you guys out there listening to the program. No offense, ladies, but the website is lowtusa.com, low testosterone. It's not exactly something guys enjoy talking about or even probably are curious enough to look up on their own, unless you delete your web browser history. But low testosterone affects a lot of people, and it affects them in different ways. Sluggishness, lack of memory, lack of sex drive, you name it. And it can all possibly be traced back to low T. That's what the folks at Mantality are set to help turn around. Mantality is a local men's health clinic located in North Liberty, so conveniently between Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. And you can get them, get in and out. Check them out online, lowtusa.com. The first visit, you get a complete workover. They look at everything. It's not just low testosterone, here are some pills, get out the door. They're going to make sure that if you have a health problem, they spot it for you. And then once you begin the low testosterone treatment, they ship everything right to your door, which means no going to the pharmacy, no going back to the office to pick up a prescription, anything like that. Easy in, easy out. LowTUSA.com. Their location, by the way, is at 595 Ashley Court in North Liberty. Their physicians are all board certified. And if you have insurance, it's going to cover it. So don't say, I can't afford it. LowTUSA.com. Back with more after this.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
Malpractice is a medical term, right? Actually, it's not. It's a plumber's word, a daycare in your home word.
It means whatever you do for a living, if it goes wrong for somebody else, it can cost you big dollars. Luckily, professional liability insurance can save your bacon. And at Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person who will make it simple to get. Meet yours at youhaveaperson.com. Skogman Carlson Insurance, supported by Integrity Insurance.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
No, the text line, I am not making Mangino jokes. That's not cool. I'm a fat guy, too. I'm not going there about the materials that it would take to make a statue of him, 42-54. Now, speaking of, boy, it is a tight in and out here. Let's send it right over to Kyle Mann. He's got a Mangino-sized Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
The University of Iowa put the finishing touches on its schedule for the 2020 football season and announced today the addition of a game with Northern Iowa. The Hawkeyes will open the season hosting the Panthers at Kinnick on September 5th, will host Iowa State the following week, and then have their first conference game in Week 3 at Minnesota. The Iowa baseball team is playing the Black and Gold World Series yesterday, today, and potentially tomorrow if a Game 3 is needed. The black team took Game 1 last night 3-2 thanks largely to five pitchers combining for a no-hitter. They still made time to issue 10 walks, which, for reference, would tie the Major League record for most walks in a no-hitter. They're playing Game 2 right now at Duane Banks Field. An injury update from Ames. Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell says that linebacker Willie Harvey is somewhere between questionable and probable for Saturday's game against Kansas. Harvey's fifth on the team with 31 tackles and tied for second with 2.5 sacks and a pick. Tonight after the show, we're going to have Thursday night football between the Eagles and Panthers. That's going to be on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. More importantly, we're going to have the win or die game, but Game 5 between the Cubs and Nationals in Washington. The Cubs will throw Kyle Hendricks, who threw 7 scoreless in a Game 1 victory, and the Nationals start Gio Gonzalez, who gave up 3 in 5 innings in Game 2. You'll be able to hear that right here on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym.
Jim Maloney walked 10 in a no-hitter in 65.
Very hard thrower, if I remember. I've read a little bit about him in the past. Not Edwin Jackson. Jim Maloney. How about that? We're going to continue talking baseball. I'm really excited about this, and the timing couldn't be better because the Cubs and the Nats are playing Game 5 of their NLDS tonight in Washington. Rich Cohen is going to be with us next. He's talking about his brand-new book, Chicago Cubs, The Story of a Curse. If you're a Cubs fan, it's worth checking out, and we're going to talk to him a little bit about what went into writing that book and the timing behind it. Back with more after this.
Malpractice is a medical term, right? Actually, it's not. It's a plumber's word, a daycare in your home word.